Thank you, ladies. All right, we're going to read the scripture. So why don't we stand if you are able for the reading of the scriptures, and then we'll pray and we'll let you be seated. Psalm number 130. Looking forward to the holiday time. When I say holiday, I'm not being, politically correct there. Thanks, New Year's and Christmas and so forth. But the schedule, just a little different this year. We're going to have a I know y'all want to get to Grandma's house and all of that, but we wanted to do a little Christmas Eve service. We thought about this for quite a bit, but it'll be traditional. I think you will enjoy that. And then we'll have the one service on Sunday morning. And of course, I love Christmas because it's Jesus' birthday, and we think a little bit about Jesus Christ and a little more opportunity maybe to reach some people. By the way, I'm going to encourage you on that the Christmas Eve service. You know, people that don't know the Lord, they kind of like that traditional Christmas type of thing. And so I encourage you just to invite. We're going to make some invitations and just invite some folks to come to that. I think they'll enjoy that. Then another reason I like this time of year is because we're getting ready for next year. And it's always exciting as we look forward to a new year and what we can do and setting some goals and so forth. And so I hope you will enjoy that. Psalm chapter 130. We'll read the 8 verses there. Psalm chapter 130. We'll start verse 1. It says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this morning. I pray that you would strengthen us and encourage us through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we started a little mini-series we're doing called The Big Three that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. It says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Of course, love is the greatest thing, but he mentions these three important qualities, and he says about these three qualities that they abide, which means they stand, they're firm, they continue, they don't go away. They stand this test of time. These three are a big deal. Last week, we looked at faith. We looked at how to have great faith. Today, we will look at the second of the three. We will look at hope. Someone has said that people can survive without many things for a period of time. You can survive with food for a period of time. Jesus fasted for what, 40 days? I don't suggest you try that. Okay, say, well, Jesus did it. Well, you're not Jesus. He walked on water too. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, you can go without water. Now, not as long as you can go without food. You can go without shelter. You can go without new clothes, transportation. You can even go without affection. But someone has said that without hope, you can't go very long at all. Hope is the essence of the Christian life. We hope to go to heaven someday. We have that hope of going to heaven someday. We have a hope that God hears and will answer our prayer. We have hope that our labor, everything we do for God is not in vain. But we don't understand what hope really is. We think of hope as how we use it in our day. I think today the Rams play the Saints. I was going to say, I hope they win, but that's ridiculous. They're not going to win. They're the Rams. But, you know, your team's playing. I hope my team is going to win. What does that mean? That's something you want to happen, but you're not quite sure it will happen. But that's not the hope of the Bible. Amen. Hope of the Bible is an assurance of that which God has promised for us, that which will happen someday. Yeah. That is hope. When we say we have a hope that we're going to be in heaven, we don't mean it's a wish and that maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't, I'm not quite sure, but I'm hoping I get in. That's not our hope of heaven. Our hope of heaven is secure because God tells us if we trust Christ, we're in. And just means that we have to wait to the future for it to happen. That's what the hope part is. We hope. It's not just a desire for an outcome that may not happen. It's not just some wish. Hope is not I hope so, but hope in a biblical sense is I know so because of God's promises. You want a great definition of hope? Turn over to Romans chapter 8 really quick. We'll look at these verses. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 24 and verse 25. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. Says this, "For we are saved by hope." And again, the biblical definition, a solid, secure belief in something God has said that is going to happen, but it's going to happen in the future. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? In other words, if we had it right now, we wouldn't have to hope for it because we have it. We see it. It's there. But our hope is in something we know is going to happen, but it's in the future. We don't have it right now. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. That's where the hope comes in. We don't have it right now. God's promised it. It's on its way, but we have patience for it because we know it is going to happen. Hope is vital to many biblical essentials in life. Hope brings security. Job 11, 18. And thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Boy, all that Job went through, he didn't have to lose it because he knew that God's future was secure for him and he had a hope for that. Hope makes us thankful. Psalm 71, 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. How can I praise God with all that's going on? Because we know the future and we know that it's going to work out for our good. And so we can thank God more and more. Hope helps us to change. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You ever see somebody and they're struggling in life? It's like, oh, there's no hope for that person. Can I just tell you something? If they meet Jesus Christ and Christ lives in them, there is hope. There's always hope. Hope helps us to be joyful. Romans 12, 12, rejoicing in hope. So how can you rejoice when things aren't going well? How can you rejoice when you look at how dark our world is becoming? Because my hope isn't in this world. My hope is in the next world. And because I have hope in the next world, I can rejoice. Fact of the matter is, if you think about it, the worse things get on this earth, the more we can rejoice because the better where we're going to end up is. Hey, you want to be miserable? I'll tell you how to be miserable. Put all of your hope in this life only. I'm just going to live for what I have on this earth. Well, guess what? You're going to be miserable. Things aren't always going to turn out the way you want. But I know this, things are always going to turn out the way God says. And because of that, I have hope. The psalm we read is a psalm of distress after some great trouble. I read it, and there's many different beliefs as to why it was written and so forth. But one thing is for sure, there was something going on. And when there is a time of distress, hope is necessary. It gives us strength to keep going when things are not well because we know something better is coming. It gives life joy and meaning, not just in hard times, but also in good times. But when hope has been repeatedly disappointed, it slips away. So this picture, this psalm offers a picture of the struggle here. The writer is going to mention his distress, but then he mentions some things which will help him to keep his hope during those times of distress. What are these things that can nurture and help our hope that he mentioned? There's four of them this morning. First of all, we can have hope in distress and in every aspect of life because of prayer. Because of prayer. Look at verse 1 and 2. He said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Yeah, you ever hear somebody say, I'm in the pits? How many ever heard that, right? I'm down in the dumps. Now, hopefully you're not shopping there, but I'm down in the dumps. I'm struggling. I'm just down today. That's what he's saying. He goes, out of the depths, I am down. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of thy supplications. He's illustrating what it felt like as he was going through this. The picture that he paints here out of the depths is as I see it, is someone who is in the water and they're drowning. You're in the depths and here's a storm and they're fighting to stay above water, and right when they think everything is okay, here comes another wave. It's almost like it's pushing them down. He goes, I was in those depths. You ever feel like that? Seems like we go through times when something is troubling to us and something is distressing us, and then it's like, here comes another one. It's like, man, we just got through that one. And that wave has passed, and now we're, here comes another one. And another one. Well, there's a place to go to when you feel like that. He went there. He went to prayer. Prayer. I want you to notice the place of his prayer. The place of his prayer was while he was in those depths. You know, anybody can pray when things are going well. And by the way, you should pray when things are going well. Doesn't take much hope to go to God when things are going well. But it seems like what happens to us all so often is when things start to go bad and we feel we're drowning, we get so caught up with just trying to survive, just trying to do our own thing, that we forget to do the one thing that we really need to do, which is going to help us get out of that in the first place, which is go back to God. We forget God. How many people have I known over the years? It's like, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. How are things going? Well, you know, I'm just going through some things right now, so I'm not going to be in church. I'm trying to get some things fixed first. Can I just tell you something? This is the place that will help you to get your problems fixed. Well, I've kind of just backed away from God right now. I need a break from God because I'm facing all these things in my life. Listen, don't face them alone. Don't get away from the very thing that'll help you to get out of the depths. That's like being in the depths of the ocean drowning, and here comes somebody, they want to throw you a life preserver, and you're like, I don't need that right now. Let me get things settled, and then I'll grab the life preserver. That doesn't make much sense. We can go to the Lord in the depths. That reminds me of Jonah. Jonah chapter number 2, Jonah is now in the belly of the fish. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 2 that Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now it probably would have been better to pray when he was still on solid land. But I'll tell you what, he came to God. He knew he needed it. I like verse 5. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. Just picture this. Here he is in this big whale, and the water is coming in and out, and he's talking about, and then he's got weeds wrapped around. You can almost see him. It's not a pretty sight. But you know what he did? He went to the Lord in prayer. Verse 7 says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. How many people don't do that? But he did. And my prayer came unto thee into thy holy temple. You know, when you're having problems, when you feel down, that's the time to go to God. Amen. You ever know someone that maybe struggles with depression? Maybe you struggle with depression. You know what? One of the mistakes that's made when you're struggling with depression is you have a tendency just to pull back from everybody and everything. You want to stay in bed all day. You don't want to get up. You don't want any contact. You don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to pray. You don't want to do anything. Can I just tell you something? That makes it worse. That makes it worse. That's the time you need to get up. That's the time you need encouragement for somebody. That's the time you need to go to God in prayer. And Jonah didn't. He remembered the Lord. I want you to notice also the passion of his prayer. The Bible says he cried. But I cried unto the Lord. It wasn't some memorized prayer. You know, when I was a little boy, and I don't know, my parents taught it or someone taught, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. Now I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, that's not in the Bible. I don't even know where that came from. You know, that's the kind of prayer that doesn't work. You know, thine is the power. Look, not rote prayer. They didn't get down and say, where's my prayer beads? Where's my Mary? What is that one? Rosary. But what's the prayer they pray? Hail Mary. By the way, Hail Mary is not a prayer. It's not when your team is trying to throw the football down the field at the end of the game. Okay? But some memorized prayer. He cried to the Lord. There was some passion behind it. There was some reality behind it. Listen, when you pray to the Lord, when you're having a tough time, just be open, honest, and upfront with him. Just talk to him. Tell him exactly how you feel. You know, we try to hide our feelings to the Lord. Listen, he knows who you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows how you feel. Just tell him. Just be honest. And he had this passion. It wasn't some rote thing. He needed God to hear him. We look last Sunday night at Philippians chapter 4 where he tells us, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. We said that last Sunday night, we have two options. We can worry about the things of life, or we can go to God, and as verse 7 of Philippians tells us, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. We can go to God, and we can get peace instead. But so often, we hold it in. You want hope? There's hope in knowing that prayer works. And then he tells us the purpose of his prayer to be heard. Lord, hear my voice. Be attentive to the voice of my supplication. He wanted God to hear him. By the way, there's many things the Bible tells us we need to be very careful about that keep us from being heard. Our lack of faith can keep us, God, from hearing us. Hebrews 11:6 says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We come to God in faith, and we talked about that last week. There could be a sin in our life. Isaiah says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You know, one of the reasons Jonah was in that place is because of something he did wrong, and Jonah had to get that right. But we want to make sure that God hears us. So we can have hope because of prayer. But there's a second reason we can have hope. Because of forgiveness. Because of forgiveness. Look at verse 3 and 4. He said, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. So now the picture he's painting really, in my mind, is a picture of a courtroom. He said, if I were to come into court and Lord, my iniquities were brought before you as they are, I'm guilty. I have no way to get out of it. If you're going to mark or you're going to keep track of my iniquities, I can't stand. Who can stand? Nobody. Because our sin is wrong. There is a record in heaven, but let me say this. Thank God. It can be reversed. Yep. Do you know some things on your record, and I'm sure this wouldn't apply to anybody in this room, can be, what is that, a sponge? Do they go away? Believe it or not, when I was a teenager, I drove, and I had a motorcycle, and I drive my friends' cars, but I had one small problem. I never had a license. And I probably got about 8 or 9 tickets. They'd pull me over all the time because I look like a punk. And say, well, they shouldn't pull you over if they look like a punk. I know, but they did. And probably because I was a punk. But I'd get pulled over, and I learned something, though. Always be respectful of the police officers. And I still think we should be respectful. Yeah. Even when I got pulled over a couple years ago and I got chewed out for speeding, I was respectful. And it gave me a ticket. But I had all these tickets, and I remember, I went to Bible college, and that was before I was saved. And But so I came back, and I was like, well, is this going to affect me? And I wanted to make sure, and I went down, and I was past the time, and they were all wiped off of my record. Thank the Lord. So he said, what'd you do? I went out and got some new ones. Okay, amen. You're clear. Let's just go for it again. But it was wiped away, which is good for insurance purposes. Well, our record, no matter how bad it is, and by the way, if you're a sinner, it's bad. It can all be wiped away. I like 1 John 5:13, and this is the record, legal document, legal terminology, that God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath not the life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Isn't that easy? He says, here's your record. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And what he literally does when we trust Christ, he wipes that record away. It is clean. We are forgiven. By the way, he realizes, he gives the realization of our condition. What does that mean? Our forgiveness is undeserved. Look at verse 3. But if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? You know what he's saying? I'm guilty. I'm in this court. And if you're looking at my record and my sin record, I'm guilty. I can't stand before you. I can't get up and say I didn't do it. I have nothing to say. I have been caught. You know what he's saying? I deserve it. By the way, none of us deserve anything good from God. None of us deserve salvation. But thank God, it's not based on us. It's based on his goodness, not ours, because we have no goodness in God's eyes. It is undeserved. I always read this verse. Whenever I feel it, I'm like, whenever I read this verse in Psalm chapter 8, I always say, you're right. Psalm 8:4. What is man, speaking to the Lord, that thou art mindful of him? It's like, Lord, who are we that you even give us a thought? You ever feel like, it's because of who he is, not because of who we are. Right. It's undeserved. And then he has respect for his conversion. Look at verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee. Thank God for that. That thou mayest be feared. You see, salvation isn't the end, it's the beginning. So because God forgives us, we ought to have a respect for him, and there ought to be a difference in the way we live. The change in our life is a result of forgiveness. Some people think you have to live a certain way to earn God's forgiveness. That's not biblical. There is nothing. The best person who ever lived on this earth could not get God's forgiveness based on the way they live, because we're all sinners. It's not based on that. It's based on his goodness. And because of that, it should make a difference in our life after we're saved. But there has to be a fear. What is a fear of God? Doesn't mean we walk around afraid at any moment he's gonna go off on us. Fear is a respect for God. And it's an understanding we're accountable to him for everything we say, we do, or we think. By the way, children ought to have a respect for their parents like that. By the way, far too many don't. We did go out and do a little shopping these last few days. And one thing I notice is kids are still ridiculous. You see these parents, and one's out, and the little two-year-old throwing herself on the ground, throwing a fit, and mom's just texting. So I'm like, I got to see this one. And the kid's throwing a fit, and she's like, nothing I can do. She's texting. And then the kid takes off running, and mom's still texting. Finally, she went and got her. Can I just tell you something? That wouldn't fly. No two-year-old is going to hold me hostage. No. No kid's going to. Now, your children should not be afraid of you, but they should have a fear that if they go past a boundary of facing you. Remember how it used to be in our country? You don't. It used to be like if the kids did something wrong, it's like, wait till dad gets home. Uh-oh. Now, if you were raised, I was raised in a single-parent family with a mom. And mothers don't discipline like that. So it was a crapshoot. You know, I do something wrong, it's like, you know, hey, depends on how mom's feeling today. And so, you know, hey, but there was times when mom had enough. Remember one time I was a kid, I'm like, I just, something I didn't want to do. I'm like, no. And I thought I was old enough, you know, I'm starting to become a teenager. No, I ain't doing it. And I pushed her, and that was one of those times where everything that had been building up that she had not taken care of, she thought she would take care of all of it right then. You say, that's child abuse. No, because I deserved every minute of it. She grabbed the nearest thing next to her, and it was on. And I lost. Okay? But it shouldn't be crazy like that. But let's look, there ought to be a fear like, you know what? I crossed the line. I'm in trouble. That ought to be how it is with God. If we understand how undeserving we are because our sin is bad, how come it is once we get saved, we forget about that? Now we get saved and we have Christians say, well, I'm under grace. I can do whatever I want. Really? You mean, so now you can participate in that same sin for which Christ had to die? It's quiet in here. Now we have a respect for God and we understand him and we allow that to change our life. I'm so tired of us bringing God down to our level today. It makes me sick. Jesus is not your buddy. Okay? If you want a buddy, go buy a stuffed bear. Okay? Girls, have your husband or your boy or someone take you to Build-A-Bear. Jesus is not Build-A-Bear. Okay? He's not your buddy. He's not some hip-hop artist who wears his hat sideways. Well, what kind of nonsense is that? It's really getting quiet in here. Jesus isn't some cool cat, yuppie. You know, they have a bobblehead Jesus. Seriously? That's not Jesus. Let's have a little more respect for God than that. So, because of forgiveness. Also, because of Scripture. We have hope because of Scripture. Verse 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. The picture he's using here when he's talking about watching for the morning would be like the sentinel, the guards that would guard a city. And during tough times, it's harder at that time. They don't have the modern lighting and so forth we have. And so they had to really keep a watch out at night. And almost like they're wishing for the morning, because when the morning comes, they'll be able to see everything and they'll be more prepared. And that's what he's talking about here. And he's saying, what helps him to watch like that guard that's just waiting for the morning, waiting for the light so they can be safe again? It's God's word. It's God's word. God's word helps us to be patient so we can wait. He said, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait. Do you know, some of the things you face and go through, they're not going to be gone tomorrow. It may take some time. We like fast everything. You know, we whine when the fast food place takes too long. And by the way, some people, they can't even wait for their payday, so now we have these places that are payday advance. By the way, if you realize it's like 600% they're charging you, you wouldn't go there. But it's like, you got to have everything right now. I just can't wait. God uses patience, though, to make us what he wants us to be. James says, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What do you mean, wanting nothing? I don't want anything. No, lacking nothing. See, God uses the things of life, the situations of life, and the time it takes for us to go through them to teach us patience, and patience is what makes us mature. You know what separates an adult from a child? Children aren't patient. The fact of the matter is, most adults I know aren't patient either. The fact of the matter is, I'm not really that patient sometimes. But we're supposed to be patient, right? A little kid, just like, it has to be right now. You know, you tell them you're going somewhere. Hey, don't tell them. We're going to go somewhere in a month. To them, that means tomorrow. That means, are we leaving yet? It's like, no, we're not leaving yet, all right? I meant, what's a month? To them, it's like, we're going. Patient. But adults, we can be a little. God uses situations in our life so we can get to the scripture and find the solution and follow it. And then over the course of time, God develops us into what he wants us to be. But we just don't want to be patient. The scripture gives us hope. And in his word, do I hope. The last thing is this. We can have hope because of God's grace. Verse 7 and 8. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem, that word again, Israel from all iniquities. What is redemption? Redemption is the picture of someone in bondage being freed. Everything that happens in our life is because of God's grace. Grace is giving us what we really don't deserve. He talks about mercy. For with the Lord is mercy. You know what mercy is? God doesn't give us what we deserve. If nothing but bad things happened in our life, because we are sinful people, do you know something? We deserve that. But aren't you glad God is merciful? Aren't you glad God doesn't give us that which we really deserve? By the way, sometimes we get upset and we don't think, we pray, Lord, I just want what I deserve. No, you don't. Tell God you don't want what you deserve. You want better. And God gives it to us sometimes. His grace causes him to be merciful. It also causes him to redeem us. We don't even deserve freedom. We don't. You know, sin is binding. Everywhere you go in this society, because we've chucked God, we want to do our own thing. We want to redefine everything. What is a family? What is an individual? The kids on, children on, was it Tuesday? They sang that unchangeable song. One, I am one of a kind. Two, I'm not going to sing it because you'd cry and I'd cry with you. Two, for my mom and dad. Three, for this. It's basically a song, and it's many, many years ago, and it's a teaching, and they made it into a song about there's unchangeables in your life, who you are, the family you were born into, the time in history you were born into, and I'm missing many, the kind of person you were born, male or female. Well, that's controversial. How can that be controversial? Come on. Used to be before they had ultrasound and before they let the fathers into the delivery room, like when Brother Montgomery was born many, many, many years ago. You had to wait outside. And they would come and say, what is it? And they would say it was either a boy or a girl. Now it's like we have to wait 10 years to find out. Now what is wrong with us? I don't even know what that had to do with anything. But we have all these unchangeables, who we are. We want to fight God on everything. But can I just tell you something? We, at our core, are nothing more than sinners who deserve to be in bondage in sin. And God, because of his grace, chose to free us. Free us. Through Christ. Listen, we have a lot to be hopeful about. Not like crossing our fingers hopeful, but that we know what God is going to do. We know God's going to do it. It may not be right now, but I am assured of it, and I'm willing to patiently wait for it. Because of prayer, because of forgiveness, because of the scripture, and because of God's grace. This world isn't all there is, people. And if you believe this world is all there is, that's why you're probably depressed and you're down. There's something better. And that's what hope is all about. And that's why hope abides. Why does hope continue? Because it's not dependent on what's going on today. It's dependent on a holy God who gives us a promise, and it's going to come to pass. How's your hope today? You feeling a little hopeless? By the way, I didn't want Hillary to be president, and I don't know. I know. But everything's locked up and who was elected. It has nothing to, that doesn't change our hope at all. Now, that may change some things in our country to give us a little more freedom, but that has nothing to do with our hope, because our hope's not in this. I'm not a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of heaven, and so I don't care who's elected, because I already know who runs where I'm going to live. And that wasn't by election. That was by appointment. Let's all stand this morning.